Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And we might be pre-recording.
We are pre-recording.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, so we're pre-recording because if all goes well, I'm currently in Mexico City.
If all goes well.
So,
okay. And
hopefully all's going well.
And what are you doing in Mexico City in the future?
In the
present future.
To be talked about later. So we are down there doing our first wine event in Mexico City. Really exciting. Landry's, obviously one of our kind of lead partners, the group of restaurants. So Palm, Morton's, Mastro's, Del Frisco's, so many. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 600 different restaurants, plus the Golden Nugget casinos, plus the Post Oak Hotel, which is amazing.
Can't forget.
In Houston. They invited us. They have a Palm restaurant down in Mexico City at the Intercontinental El Presidente Hotel.
Love the name.
Right. And we were looking for ways to get our winery partners distribution in Mexico, as well as really connect with consumers down there. So we are in the middle of a 3-day event kicking off on Thursday the 24th. So that would have been 2 days ago, again, if all goes well, and we're airing this. We will be kicking off with our partners from Guild Somm, who will be doing a 3-hour masterclass on Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday evening, we have a winemaker dinner at the Palm. So that will be for consumers. And then Friday, we're doing both a trade tasting and then a consumer tasting. So all the things. It's going to be jam-packed 2 days. And then Saturday, so the 26th of April, is get up, relax a little bit, and then come home.
I love how you include that. Okay.
Yeah.
Relax a little bit. And come
Check out Mexico City just a bit, because we'll be getting in Wednesday night and then obviously running around doing all the events on Thursday, Friday. And yeah.
One of my favorite cities in the world.
I know, right? It's such a great food city these days.
Yeah.
And it's been really exciting. We had a group of Somms in from Mexico all around Monterey, Cabo, a couple of weeks ago that the Wine Institute coordinated for us. And so we're hoping that we'll see them again when we go back down there to Mexico City, and hopefully some of them will even help us get the wines purchased and brought into their locations.
And so, how many wines will be represented?
So there's going to be about 13 different wineries, each with 2 wines to 3 wines. Plus, what's really cool is there's for the consumer and trade tasting, there'll actually be with 6 to 8 wineries from Mexico.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's kind of this Sonoma County, Mexico, which, I mean, if I were a consumer or trade, like, that's a pretty appealing sort of way to spend a day.
Yep, and very different types of wine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that really goes to show, like, what's the local versus, you know, what can you bring in from California and specifically Sonoma County.
Do you have any Sonoma County wine growers that are involved in anything in Mexico, like growing-wise or consulting-wise?
No. I mean, I know there's actually some of the employees that are originally from Mexico that have, like, agave farms down there or involved in making tequila.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for that.
Which is kind of cool, or mezcal, which I think is really fun. But I don't know of any of our farmers that actually go, like, owners that are sort of, especially multi-generational farmers from here that also kind of bridge or straddle farming in both locations, but definitely several employees do that. So I know.
Okay. Well, that is a lot.
It is a lot
to do.
I know.
Especially the relax part. what else?
I hope I can do that. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that, right? I know we've been just so busy. I mean, May is shaping up to be an incredibly busy month again of events. So we'll be headed to Minnesota. May, what is that, like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th?
With your Minnesota friends.
With our Minnesota friends. That were on air. It was so fun when that episode aired. They were all excited and sending notes and posting on social. So lots of enthusiasm for that. And then clearly we have the weekend after that, the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience. And I'm really excited. We decided this year we are hosting some of our key partners as part of that event. So Alaska Airlines and John Deere and Ford and our new partners with the Taste of the NFL from the dairy industry and so many more. Landry's, let us entertain you. And we're going to do kind of a special, they're going to do the Healdsburg event, the welcome, the barbecue, Matt Horn barbecue out at Orsi. And then we're going to send them out with some of our farmers for the afternoon on kind of our truck talk vineyard immersion, and then do a very intimate dinner with our growers and their significant other spouses and our partners and their spouses. And so I think that's going to be a nice, we're kind of taking them away from the event Friday evening, and then they'll go back into the event on Saturday for the grand tasting and the big magnum party Saturday night. So
okay.
I know. All right. So all the things, it's like every weekend there's a big wine event for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Let's hope forever.
I know, right? Okay. we need all the wine events, all the things, all the consumers.
All the time.
All right. There you go. Well, so lots of good stuff there, right?
Lots of good stuff. Okay. Well, we will be back on the good stuff with our guests in a minute. Joining us on today's Good Stuff, in studio we have Amy Chenoweth, owner winemaker at Chenoweth Wines, and her son Charlie Chenoweth, who serves as equipment manager in vineyard management business and sells a lot of the grapes for Chenoweth Wines.
And he's little Charlie when he's around big Charlie. No, he's CJ when he's around big Charlie, or little Charlie around big Charlie.
Lots of different
names. But today you're just Charlie. So we're just going to give you full Charlie ownership today in studio. So
okay.
There you go.
So we do like to often start at the beginning here on the good stuff.
So take us back to the early 1800s, or was that mid-1800s?
Tell us what was happening then. Yeah. No, but Chenoweth has farmed in Sonoma County for more than 150 years, is that right? Tell us a little bit about kind of its beginnings.
That is correct. The Chenoweth family came to California in the mid-1800s, and they've been out, we're out by Occidental, and they've been here for more than 170 years.
Okay. 170.
That's a lot.
Newbies.
So Charlie actually has two children, and they're the seventh generation on the family farm.
So every generation, you know, leading up to Charlie and his kids has been on the property farming.
That is
continuous
correct.
Farming. Okay.
Yes.
And wine
That's
grapes
pretty amazing.
Came
so,
at what point?
Charlie's dad, Charlie, and I started the Vineyard Management Company in 1999. So last year we celebrated our 25th anniversary of farming wine grapes on the farm. Previous to that, there were apples, cherries,
prunes. Yeah. There's lots of different things at our home ranch site, especially, is kind of like the main spot that everyone farmed at. We weren't always known for farming. I think when we first got over here, there's, you know, a couple things in between. We did about 70 years of logging as well in that area. It was after the 1906 fires and earthquakes that happened in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So kind of jumped around a little bit, but pretty much any hot commodity in Sebastopol we have
that
grown.
You could farm. Yeah.
At one point it was vineyard beforehand. I think it was like a prohibition thing or something like that.
Yeah.
But my dad started out, he actually worked with the Duttons before and then with Sarah Lee over, and he worked at a vine nursery, and that's where he got a lot of his knowledge, especially for developing vineyards. Mm-hmm. So he's heavy in the development, and we kind of started our business that way. I was 4 years old when it started, so yeah.
Right, you remember it vividly.
Yeah. But,
so it's just a big sandbox for you, right?
Pretty
You're
much,
like,
right?
This is so fun.
Yeah.
But Amy, what is your family lineage then? So did you also grow up in Sonoma County?
Do
you
I have did. I grew
eight?
Up in Guerneville.
Yeah. Okay.
My family has also been in California for quite a while. I couldn't tell you exactly how long, but many generations, but not in the same area. I'm the first generation to actually grow up in Sonoma County.
Okay.
But so, being in Guerneville, it's
I know.
The,
well, that's,
the, it's part yeah. of it's the Mecca.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, when were the Chenoweths originally from then? Where did they come from in the mid-1800s?
I believe it was Kentucky or Kansas.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh,
was
so,
where,
oh wow.
Yeah, so Baltimore
East
was...
East Coast.
Yeah, we were East Coast. That was kind of where we started from, the story that I had heard from my uncles and aunts. And
they might have ended up in Kentucky for a little while. But
they did.
Yeah,
I think
that's a long travel.
It, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's a Welsh name. So originally they came from Europe, and then came into Baltimore, and then huge families, and they just kind of spread all the way across the United States.
Wow.
We've had many people come out to visit us and have said, oh, do you know so-and-so Chenoweth and in, yeah, you know, wherever in right. Alabama? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably somewhat related. But yeah, that's, I mean, that's America right there, right? Everybody, right? Everybody sort of spread around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 1999, give me a sense of kind of what the wine grape market was like back then. I mean, what were you growing or what were you seeing out there? Who were some of your early partners?
Yeah. Patson Hall was always a big partner. Still today, 26 years later, we are still working very closely with Patson Hall Winery. Costa Brown has always been really good to us too, but Patson Hall was really the winery that came in when we started the vineyard management company in 1999. The first thing we did was plant our home ranch, mm-hmm. and that it's planted 100% to Pinot Noir. And Patson Hall came in and gave us a contract to purchase the fruit, and that was really the egg in the nest that we needed to go ahead and make that leap into mm-hmm. that. And most of what we grow still today is Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, which obviously grows really, really well in the Russian River Valley. So
from the home ranch, you've grown into some other vineyards. Did those come over time? Like, how did your business sort of progress over the last 20, 25 years?
Yeah. So we started the vineyard management company, and we were hired on by, in the beginning, it was mostly people that were coming into Sonoma County and purchasing land, and maybe they had between 5 and 10 acres. Mm-hmm. So we were, for the most part at that point, we were doing
kind of custom farming for the small owners, right?
Yeah, turning people into gentleman farmers. Yeah. So mm-hmm. they had the property, but they hired us to do all of the work. It is transformed over the years. Now we're doing more for wineries that are just taking the fruit. We still have quite a few vineyards that are smaller and are still owned by just homeowners. But for the most part, we're working with wineries directly. And there's about 40 or so different wineries that we're working with between Sonoma and Napa County.
Yeah, and I don't think everyone realizes that. And that's such a part of the structure of Sonoma County farming is that we have several vineyard management companies that help us keep some of this land in agriculture. Because if you have 5, 10, and now it seems like maybe even less than 20 acres, it's pretty cost prohibitive to do that farming on your own. I mean, to invest in the equipment,
definitely
the employees, mm-hmm. to have a full-time workforce that can do sort of the farming year round. So, I mean, I think that's such a critical role that estate programs, or when you look at other even countries, especially in what was the old world of wine, it's a very, very different model. But thank goodness we have that model here. We'd probably have lost a lot of our farmland over the past couple decades.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
So, Charlie, growing up, did you know you were going to be in the family business? Did you have other aspirations? Did you ever try anything else?
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of all stems from growing up on a ranch and doing what I did. You know, I don't really know a whole lot different. And the vineyard and stuff, and my dad, was heavily involved and already working in the vineyard by the time I was born. So with the vineyard going in when I was four, I pretty much remember nothing else. So I've always been around it. I've always been doing, stuff with my dad and doing the ranch work, just typical cleanup and stuff like that. But I kind of knew what I was going to be doing. I knew it. The end all plan was to be here and doing this full time. But yeah, I did get to jump around. I was a snowcat operator at Heavenly. That was something that I got to do. So, the vines go to sleep in the wintertime. And for a few years, I would take off in the wintertime and try to do some other jobs and then would come back for the spring and summer.
Tugged at you to come back, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
You didn't get the full ski, snowbird, follow the snow trail.
Yeah, right. No, it was a lot of fun up there for sure. It was kind of a lifestyle thing for me.
Sure.
I worked nights and, snowboarded all day and that kind of stuff. So
right.
It was
the dream.
Fun. Yeah, it was pretty fun while I was young. But yeah, I definitely, my end all was definitely to be working on the ranch and, whether that be grapes or whatever's next, I'm ready to keep making the ranch work.
Mm-hmm. So Charlie, you were four when the home ranch went in, so obviously, mm-hmm. you know, you were probably just an observer, but after that, did you help develop some other vineyards?
So our Treehouse Vineyard got put in 2006, and you know, I probably have maybe lost it a little bit, but I helped plant some of that. Mm-hmm. And with my dad and stuff like that, and we had like a vine that was like, I think it was sixth row and like 37 plants in or something like that. Me and my brother did two right next to each other with my dad. So there's a couple vines out there from that. My dad had me on a disc and on tractors and stuff like that, like prepping the ground for the work. Mm-hmm. I kind of started off doing that kind of stuff most of the time. I enjoyed that, you know, and when you're young, you can eat dust all day and it's okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Either snow, when you're not eating snow, you're eating dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got some consistency there.
Yeah. You know what? No matter who I talk to in farming, I mean, driving the tractor is like the holy grail of enjoyment.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're young, like when that was being put in, I was, you know, 9-10 years old. And even if he let me move the tractor across the field, it was like the best thing ever. So
honestly, even my husband today, when he comes home and he's super happy, I'm like, you drove equipment today. Yeah. You know, like you got out of the office, yeah. You got your boots are kind of dirty. Like you got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The office is the least favorite part.
Right.
Sure.
Sitting behind a computer, spreadsheets and spray reports are like, yeah, we're farmers, I guess, have to go, but that's not their happy place.
Yeah.
So establishing Treehouse and then later Bootleggers Hill came along.
Why is it called Treehouse, by the way?
Yeah, why is it called a Treehouse?
There's a fairy ring of redwood trees. A fairy ring is just like a circle of redwood trees that stems from redwoods when they sprout at the bottom. When they get taken down, mm-hmm. it leaves like a little circle around the base of the mother tree or the old growth or whatever it is, and it leaves fairy rings. And we always wanted, it's up right in the middle of the vineyard at the top, and it's one of the highest points in West County that you can get to, and we always wanted to put like a platform or a treehouse into there and kind of do that. But the way it's nested up on top of the hill and everything, and the way you look over everything, it kind of feels like you're, you know, like up above everything else. So Treehouse kind of naturally came to us, and my dad kind of has a knack for coming up with names for things. So
it's a great name. But then that segues really nicely into Bootleggers Hill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's the story on that one?
So
you want me to take this one?
Sure, yeah.
Who wants to tell the story?
I know. It's such a great name.
My father-in-law, so we'll back up just a little bit. The Bootleggers Hill was owned by another longtime Sonoma County family, really good family friends with the Chenoweths. We got the opportunity to lease the property, and we took, and my father-in-law happened to go out there with us, and he's the one who told us the story that during Prohibition, alcohol would be brought into the Bodega Bay area and then loaded onto big trucks and brought up to that specific little knoll there. And it was perfect because you could see all the way down into downtown Sebastopol, or what is now downtown Sebastopol.
It looks like straight out Occidental Road looking east, and you can see, like, I mean, it's a straight shot. So any headlights or lights that were coming, you could start to hide stuff.
So once the alcohol was brought into that area, then it was dispersed to smaller trucks, to the bootleggers, and they would go out and sell it.
Deliver.
Make their little deliveries. And so it just was natural that obviously it was going to be Bootleggers Hill.
I love it.
Which is like the best name for a vineyard ever. Wine label, you're like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah,
like,
I'm, no, it's right.
Because it feels like you're still like back in that time. You're like doing something a little like,
it's like illicit.
That you're not supposed to be. Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to drink this, but not tell anyone.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, definitely don't. So I love that. So when did that get developed? Was it already a vineyard when you?
It was not. It was an apple orchard. There's mm-hmm. still some apple trees there as well, and I believe that one was developed in 2013.
Okay.
Does that sound right? I think it was developed over 2 years,
13 and 14. Yeah, I was gonna say. I think it took a little bit, but
yeah. So that's probably enjoying its full production now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
And that
hit its stride.
That is the only estate vineyard that we have that also has Chardonnay. So it is, that's where my Chardonnay stems from.
Ooh, well, it's a good thing that you added it then.
I know, seriously.
But it really seems like you've sort of grown very slow and steady. like so many Sonoma County it really is the farming perspective, I think, of like grow slow and steady and sort of probably see what the market is for grapes. And then, of course, along the way, you start your own brand, which I think we're going to get into after we take a break. But it seems like, you know, has that been sort of a deliberate way that you and Charlie have looked at this business from the beginning, is grow it as you can?
Honestly, we didn't. It was not something that we set out to do. When we started the farm company, we just were a farm company. And it was when a gentleman named Corey Albury came in to work for us that we had always been making wine, garage wine, mm-hmm. just stuff that we could share with the family and friends. When Corey came in, he basically said, let's make this real. Mm. You guys are doing a great job. Let's really do something with this.
Okay. Well, we will pick back up on that story when we return on The Good Stuff. Good Stuff with our guests, Amy Chenoweth and Charlie Chenoweth, talking about running a vineyard management company, growing grapes, planting grapes, but then you start wine.
I mean, what do you do with grapes?
Eventually, I mean, it happens so often. But tell us a little bit. So you mentioned this, you know, sort of transformative person, Corey. Tell us a little, who is he?
Corey Albury, when we first met him, he was an intern at Kosta Brown Winery.
Okay.
And he, when the internship was over, he wanted to stay in Sonoma County, and we had already completely fallen in love with him. And I've been known to quote unquote collect people. I told him, you can just come and be our person now too.
Yeah.
So I adopted him, and he came.
Congrats,
to work
Charlie. You got a brother.
Yeah. She's auntie to very many people. Oh,
yeah. A lot of people. That's absolutely true. So Corey came to work for us on the vineyard management side, and after the first harvest, and we always have kept a little bit of the grapes, usually it was one barrel, back to make our garage wine. And he's the one, and this literally happened after a few beers,
of course, because of course. Every most wine does
every great yeah. story starts with there were some beers involved. He said, let's make this real. Let's go ahead and turn this into a real winery. Mm-hmm. So he was instrumental in that. He became our winemaker for the first 5 years, the first five vintages, okay. from 2010 to 2015.
You jumped in like
head first.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, head that's like yeah.
It's the transition from being a home or garage winemaker to becoming a real mm-hmm. winery,
yeah. commercial. Yeah,
is what it was. Jumping in head first.
Yeah.
We have the tendency to do that. The vineyard management business started when Charlie was four, and his little brother was 18 months or so. And
so you weren't busy at all.
Charlie came home from where he was working at Rich and Shirley Cundy at Sonoma Grapevines at that time. He came home and said, I'm going to quit my job and we're going to start our own vineyard management company. So
like, great.
So we kind of have this string of, all right, yeah. Let's just see what happens.
I think something really good about the wine side of it too, especially when we got like the real label involved in things, is a really good way for us to showcase what our grapes can do.
Absolutely.
I felt like that was, you know, something that I picked up on pretty early, that you know, and like kind of that total package too. We from start to finish, I mean, we can develop a vineyard, farm a vineyard, and make a bottle of wine with it. So that teaches you a lot for especially the farming yeah. side of stuff as well.
Yeah.
And kind of what, you know, winemakers might potentially be looking for in different styles and things like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of helped the farming side of things as well. And that's my main focus.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. So, but, I mean, to what you're saying, too, that's really why we started doing it for real. Mm. It. I mean, obviously, it's fun, too. It's my favorite part of my job. But that we, our first focus is farming.
Right.
And right. So it, we made one wine from 2010 to 2015, and it was the blend of all three of the vineyards that we've talked about, mm-hmm. Home Ranch, Bootleggers Hill, and Treehouse. And it was to showcase our grapes. If we can do this, imagine what you can do with it.
Right. Yeah.
And we only take probably like a ton or two from each property as well. So it's not, you know, we're not trying to make a bunch of wine, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? We're just, I hate to keep using the word showcasing like that, because if we do try to, we want to make the best wine that we can, of course, you know, but it really is kind of like a little showcase of what our grapes can do. And it's, you know, kind of a good selling point with some things, and it kind of, you know, it kicks back into the farming too. Mm-hmm. So. Well,
and you don't make much, because I know Amy was on a panel with us a few weeks ago with some of our larger winery partners, a Stone Street, you know, a Jay, others. And then it was, your perspective was like, and then I represent this tiny, 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 tiny,
tiny little
brand.
Like,
you're trying this wine and there's like 100 cases of that total. Yeah. Like, you just depleted today, like, you know, 1% of our total supply. Mm-hmm. So
that is absolutely true. We may be the smallest in the area. We do less than 500 cases a year. But again, that is, it is still to this day, it is to showcase our vineyards. It's to,
and our winery is, you know, it's very experience based, and I think that's something that's important to us as mm-hmm. well. When you guys come out and things like that, it's an experience. It's going and drinking the wine from that vineyard while you're standing in the vineyard. Yeah. You get to learn some of our family history, driving around on the ranch itself and things like that. So
when people come out to visit us, they're standing in, so you come in and you're standing in Home Ranch Vineyard drinking Home Ranch Pinot Noir. Yeah. And you're also learning about the farming. So you're standing right in the middle of that vineyard, and we're talking about rootstocks. And I mean, we can obviously get as in depth as any guest would
like
to. You
want to geek out or just drink?
Exactly.
Pick your spectrum.
That might be a question that we should start with.
Yeah. Right. Just choose your own adventure today. There's like multiple paths. Yeah. What would you like to do?
But Amy, at some point you became the winemaker.
Yeah,
so
I did.
Was that 2015?
In 2015, Corey left us to work on another project, and me being me, I said, you can leave, but you can't actually leave. And so he stayed on as consulting winemaker, but he said to me, you know what you're doing, just do this. And it's small, and at the time it was still small enough. And when I say at the time, we're obviously still very small, but at the time we were doing one barrel, about, you know, between 60 and 70 cases. And it was just the one wine, one Pinot Noir. So I took over in 2015 and did that one Pinot Noir. But then in 2016, I loved it so much.
This is how things start.
Yes.
We jumped in head first.
Why get one dog when you could have 10?
Well, right? I'm with you on that.
Well, like, come on.
Come on.
I really enjoyed it. But after talking to the family, we decided that we were going to showcase each vineyard. So in 2016, we expanded the program to include, it was then four Pinot Noirs. So we do vineyard designates for Home Ranch, Bootleggers Hill, and Treehouse. And then we still have our flagship Green Valley of the Russian River Valley Pinot Noir.
So that was the original blend. Okay.
That's the original. That's the OG, our
the OG.
Flagship wine.
I like that.
Awesome.
In 2017... we decided that we wanted to do a Chardonnay as well.
Wow.
And so in 2017, we also started our Rosé program. And those are all the wines that make up our little tiny brand.
So it's like things start to creep in. And then
you just have one Chardonnay, right? From Bootleggers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bootleggers Hill Vineyard. Yeah. It's our only estate vineyard that has Chardonnay on it.
Yeah. Okay. Have you thought about adding more Chardonnay to any of your vineyards? I mean, seems like you don't have enough.
Well, we can...
Because we like Chardonnay a lot.
Because we're really good.
FYI.
The premise of our Chenoweth label is that it is all estate grown. I could go purchase... Sure. Chardonnay somewhere and do another Chardonnay program, and that is something that, you know, maybe in the future mm-hmm. we can look at, but for right now we'll see what happens. Yeah.
So I heard that's not taking any Pinot out and putting Chardonnay in at Home Ranch or Treehouse is what I heard there.
That's what I heard
at least
too,
right now.
I'm wondering why.
We're
at least
open,
right now.
We're like, open to opportunities.
Yeah. That's important to
I feel
know.
Like 2 years from now they'll be like, and then we just dove into this new thing and we'll be like, okay.
Right. Yes, exactly. And then all of a sudden there was Vermentino. No, all we ask is more Chardonnay. That's
yeah.
All we
do like the Chardonnay.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back I'd love to ask you a bit more about the visitor experience. We touched on it, but we'll dive in a little bit deeper when we get back on the good stuff. Stuff to wrap things up with our guests Amy and Charlie Chenoweth, mother and son, just to be clear. And so we talked a little bit about how people can come to the Home Ranch and they're in the vineyard, they're looking at those beautiful trees, they're looking at everything. But you have even you have a wine shack tasting, which, you know, not everybody has a wine shack tasting, and a UTV tasting and vineyard tour. So give us a little bit more detail on that, because both sound amazing.
So we have a wine shack. It is, how big is it? It's a tiny little, literally a shack. If you think of She Shed or Man Cave, it's about that size. It's down in the Redwoods. So we are in West Sonoma County, close to a little town called Occidental. And the shack sits on the valley floor. The ranch where we live has many different microclimates on it. So we meet you at the wine shack and you taste either our rosé or our Chardonnay. And then we put you in UTVs. Okay. And we take you through the ranch on old logging trails. And
so fun.
Mm-hmm. Take you up in, so first cool. You visit our Home Ranch vineyard, also known as Chenoweth Ranch if you see it on other labels. And you taste Chenoweth Ranch Pinot Noir in Chenoweth Ranch. And then we put you back in and take you to Treehouse Vineyard, which is at 750 elevation. We talked a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. And it has some of the most beautiful views of Sonoma County. You can see from Geyserville almost down into Roanoke Park, the whole corridor there.
So lots of photos being taken at Treehouse.
Yeah. Many photos. Yeah. Many engagement photos up there
nice.
As well. It's
nice,
really
nice.
Beautiful. But then you're tasting Treehouse Vineyard in Treehouse. We talk a lot about farming. We talk a lot about the differences. You can actually see one vineyard from the other, but the soil types are very different. The elevation is different. The actual farming is very different as well. So we talk, again, we can geek out as much as you want, or you can just sit there and drink wine and look at the view too. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's an adventure. And we get very adventurous people that come out too. And that might be my favorite part of the entire job is, well, number one, finally sharing the product.
Yeah.
That it's wine is meant to be shared. And then also the just talking about it, having really great guests come out.
Yeah, it's quite a dramatic difference in soil types too. So it is pretty fun. Even someone that, you know, might be pretty new to everything, you can look at the ground and see the difference in the color and how we farm it and things like that. Even from there, it's just they're significantly different. But like she said, you can see them from from one another. And it's like you cross a creek and you're in a completely different microclimate and environment. Yeah. So,
which is so fun for people.
Yeah, and to try the different wines from each one. I mean, I love that you actually make a single, you know, vineyard designate from each spot so you can... Mm-hmm.
And another bonus to the whole thing is that anybody who comes out, no matter what day you're coming out, you're getting a family member. You're getting somebody who's intimately involved. Charlie's wife, Kira, is one of my helpers. And then I have Adair, who's also part of a family member. And so it's you're getting somebody who's intimately involved in it, either on the farming or the winemaking side.
Yeah. So awesome.
Incredible. All right. So it looks like you offer those... Monday through Thursday and Saturday. There's two times available, 10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Correct.
And you can book them by calling 707-829-3367 or old-fashioned email. Join us at chenowethwines.com. What else should people be looking out for? Do you have some other special events coming up during the summer? Do you do other kind of...
We are members in a wine club or a wine store, wine bar called Region, and we'll be there in June. You can just head to our website and find out where we're going to be. We keep it pretty up to date.
Fantastic. All right. ChenowethWines.com, Instagram at ChenowethWines. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This was fun.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Here to wrap things up on the good stuff. Carissa, when are we going on the UTV tour?
I know. Seriously, soon is the answer.
People should definitely check
that's
it out.
That's so cool.
It's a very special experience there.
We talk a lot about how do you make wine tasting more accessible and more appealing, especially to younger consumers. And I think nothing better than literally zipping through on old logging trails out near Occidental and sipping wine from the vineyards where the grapes are grown. Like,
yeah, nothing better.
I'm here for it.
Okay. In the meantime, until we experience those wines in those vineyards, what are we doing?
I know.
What are we drinking on Tuesday?
I know. What's your good stuff? So I got to stay with the Chenoweth family here. So I really imagined that where the treehouse would be on Treehouse Vineyard. So I'm excited. I'm going to pull from, I think they have a couple past vintages. I'm going to do the 2018 Treehouse Pinot Noir on Tuesday night. And you? What do you got for me?
Well, I'm going Bootleggers Chardonnay. One, because it's Bootleggers. Two, because it's Chardonnay. I think current vintage for them right now appears to be 2020, which is also, I think, the year that I went to the Wine Shack.
Oh, there you go.
I did not take the UTV tour because it probably wasn't safe to do so without masks. I don't know.
So you walked amongst those grapes.
I did. I remember the shack. It's a pretty spectacular place. I mean, you are completely surrounded by redwoods. It's
beautiful.
A very special part of Sonoma County.
Yeah.
As there are so many.
Well, it's going to be, that's a good Tuesday night lineup.
I know.
All things Chenoweth.
And I kind of just love that she just was like, yeah, why not? I'm going to start making the wines. I mean, and that she was encouraged. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Good grapes are coming in.
No, and the wines are delicious. So I've had the opportunity to try them on several occasions. So I'm very happy about that.
And from some of their partners as well. So yeah, I think I first probably had a Chenoweth through Kosta Browne. And
yeah, I was going to say, I got to do a Pats and Hall tasting several years ago where they had a number of their growers there. And that was amazing. So Chenoweth was in the room, Charlie was there, and Mark Sanchetti and Dutton. So a lot of the, I love when wineries sort of bring their growers in to try the different kind of barrel samples and wines. So,
well,
so much good stuff.
Well, there you have it.
I know.
And a mother-son combo. Never about that either.
I know. It was nice to hear from Charlie and growing up on the ranch, years old.
I kind of feel like maybe senior Charlie is a farmer and doesn't want to talk to us.
I know. And we got Charlie, little Charlie. All right. Oh, my gosh. There we go. We're getting loopy now. We're getting loopy. It must be the end of the show.
Yeah, it's time to take a break or close the show. So thanks for joining us, everybody, from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.